Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is why we love the NFL, and this is a huge game in the NFC. A couple of heavyweights going at it. To talk more, we hit the Great Midwest Bank Hotline and welcome in Ryan Wood from the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Woody, a huge game.
Huge game. Huge game. And it's been that way. You know, when the schedule came out in April, I remember looking at the schedule and thinking, boy, if the 49ers rebound with Garoppolo, that could be a pretty important game that nobody's talking about right now because the 49ers coming off a 4-12 season. But even then, I didn't think it'd be 9-1 versus 8-2. I mean, it's absolutely a huge game. And just one caveat here, it's a huge game. But that Week 16 trip to Minnesota is looming as a pretty huge game, too. There's going to be some pretty huge games for this Packers team coming down the stretch because seeding is so important in this conference when you look at the playoffs. And that's where the Packers have positioned themselves. You know, Brian Bulaga said it this week. This is where we belong. We've had a couple of years here where it's been down years, haven't had these big games. This is where the Packers belong. And they put themselves back into that position to be in the national spotlight. But yeah, you can't overstate how important this game is.
You know, they have the two marquee games, both on primetime. Minnesota, as you said, before Christmas, and then the San Francisco game. But I you can't overlook anybody. The Packers, I thought, did in 2014. They overlooked Buffalo and it cost them home field advantage. And divisional opponents. Divisional opponents are just so tough. And I know the Bears aren't very good, and neither is Detroit. But these, you know, it always gets tougher when you play divisional. So those last 3 weeks, you know, I think those aren't layups either.
That is great recall, the 2014 season in the Buffalo game.
You got that right, player.
That was a huge loss in the grand scheme.
It was.
Because without that loss, if they win that game, as they should
damn
have.
Damn right.
They played the Seattle Seahawks at Lambeau Field. That January. So you're right. And by the way, they happen to go back to the state of New York after this week. So against a team that they should absolutely annihilate by no question, but they should have beaten the Buffalo Bills in 2014 as well. So, yeah, you know, that's very true. But, you know, Matt LaFleur, I think he's right when he says you can only look at the opportunity in front of you. And when you're staring at the opportunity in front of you and what you're looking at is 9-1, there's no looking past that. It's a 9-1 team, and the implications and everything. You know, it's a different week in the locker room. Most guys, almost every guy, was very they embraced, they accepted the stakes of this week. A lot of times you'll hear guys fall on cliches one game at a time, just like any other week. There wasn't a lot of that this week. These guys get it. And I think that Aaron Rodgers put it pretty well, which is that the way he sees it, they've got to win at San Francisco at one point this season. At some point, they have to win a game at San Francisco. He'd rather that be now in November than wait till January.
Yeah, when the stakes are, go home. You know, I agree with him. Woody, let me ask you this. How do they win this game then? Because we've seen throughout the season here, and this is, I think, one of the more impressive things about LaFleur, is that he wins in different ways. They run the football one game, and then a week later, they're going to do it with the passing attack. And then the next week, they're going to do it with a defensive win. And then the next week, it's always something different a little bit, and I like that about LaFleur thus far. So which tack does he take in this game?
I think the single biggest thing the Packers have going for them is the element of surprise, because they are coming off 2 weeks here to prepare for this game. They had a full week to self-evaluate, as Matt LaFleur said, to identify the tendencies and then break the tendencies that they developed over 10 games. And I have no idea what that's going to mean Sunday night. I think there's going to be changes. I don't know what those are. I'm not sure the 49ers know what those are. And they could probably have a much higher chance of being able to guess what tendencies Matt LaFleur is likely to break, but it's still a guess. So that's a big benefit for the Packers, that they've been in a unique situation where since their last game, they have watched the 49ers twice. They watched the Monday night game against the Seahawks the day after the Packers beat the Panthers, and then they watched last week's game against the Cardinals. So that does not happen. It's very rare. It's a big advantage. And the other part of that, if they are to win this game, I think they're going to have to force Jimmy Garoppolo to make some turnovers. Jimmy Garoppolo has 10 picks in 10 games. This is a very opportunistic defense, especially outside a corner, that the covers they've gotten on the perimeters this year has been really good. So that could bode well for them too. Now, the flip side of that, sure looks like George Kittle's going to play this week, and the Packers have not covered tight ends all year. So that's a problem. That's a big problem if he is able to come back and be effective. He's had a couple weeks to rest and recover from his injury. So the Packers, I think, would love to see George Kittle take another week of rest, but it does not look like that's happening.
What do you think of the Packer pass rush? You think the Packer rush is can get to Garoppolo, because I think that's a guy who could be rattled and you can get him shaking a little bit in his boots?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. You know, you can force him into mistakes. Yeah. They've got the pass rush and the opportunistic secondary to do that. So I definitely think that plays into their advantage some. Now, their run defense against that outside zone scheme, where they've got a lot of quick running backs, obviously, and they really hurt him last year at Lambeau Field with running the football. That's a, probably an advantage to 49ers. I mean, you go down the list. This is why it's such a fascinating game. Because if you go down the list, there's advantages the 49ers have. There's advantages the Packers have. They're different. And it's close. I mean, it's going to be close. So it's just a matter of how those advantages, who kind of wins that tug of war on the field Sunday night.
Ryan Wood joining us here talking Packers and Niners. He's from the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Matt LaFleur, I think this may be a tipping point in his career. The rest of this season. Now we know that, you know, he's been doing well, 8-2, and we're all well aware of this. I'll equate it this way: one of the worst things to happen to Baltimore this year is to play the New England Patriots, regardless of whether they beat them or not. I think it exposed them to a Belichick adjustment. I won't put the whole shooting match on this game Sunday night until the next time they play.
So do you think the loser of this game is going to have the advantage the next time around?
Well, I think it's an educational experience for both coaches to see how they adjust, if indeed they face each other in the postseason. Has Matt LaFleur showed you anything of that sort of ilk, that he can adjust to the landscape?
Well, the thing with Matt LaFleur, I mean, if you look game by game, and I mean, I'll just foreshadow, I've got a story coming out today where I broke down all 660 times they've lined up for a play today or this season, and the personnel groupings that he's used, the success rate of each one. And each week is an island unto itself. I mean, Matt LaFleur talks about how he devises game plans based on opponents, and that very much is true. I mean, there's a few times where he'll go with 11 personnel for extended times, you know, usually only when there's injury, like Philly and Dallas, when they didn't have Jamal Williams, there was a lot of 11. The Chargers, they played a lot of 11. They played a lot of 11 against Detroit. There's other times when it'll be really, really mixed and balanced. And sometimes with them not balanced, there'll be more 12 personnel with your tight ends. And then sometimes there's more 21 personnel with your running backs. It doesn't have uniformity throughout the course of the season. He's very adaptable with his scheme, with the personnel groupings that he chooses to use against one opponent or another. So it's definitely something. And for example, like the last 32 snaps against the Chargers, they were in 11 personnel. Very, very rare for them. The very next week against Carolina, they come out and they're very balanced in their personnel groupings because they were in too much 11 against the Chargers, and they wanted to get back to being that, having that balance, that mixture of different looks, which the whole point of which is to camouflage the offense and what they're running to the defense when you're constantly revolving the door with players coming off the sidelines. So can he adapt? Yes. I mean, it's very much week by week in a way that we did not see with Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy really emphasized the no huddle, the tempo, being really fast-paced with the offense. So guys never left the field. They were always in 11 personnel, like 80% of the time. And that was, regardless of who they played, that was what they were going to do. Matt LaFleur is very adaptable to whoever he plays. So he'll gather the intel from this game, and he will implement that if they do, in fact, play again.
I know that Davante Adams was limited in practice on the injury report. Does that mean that toe is acting up again?
I don't think it's 100%, but I also don't think that it's something that, you know, he's going to miss a game. I think that it's just kind of – I wouldn't go as far as to say veteran's rest, but just being smart with a guy that doesn't need a ton of practice reps.
Okay. I just put a little flag up there yesterday when I saw that, and I'm like, okay, I hope that's not acting up again because I know that's something that could come back and – you know, flare up from time to time, but that's I just wanted to ask you, see if you knew anything about that.
Yeah, and we've been asking our listeners today, how are the Packers going to do? Ryan Wood will ask you the same thing.
Man, this is tough. This is the toughest one that we've had since you remember the Kansas City game when we thought that they were going to have everyone but Mahomes. If all things were equal, I would take the home field team, right? If it wasn't for the fact that the Packers had 2 weeks. With that said, if George Kittle wasn't playing, it would be really easy to take the Packers too. George Kittle is going to be on the field. I think he's going to produce. This is a defense that has really struggled against tight ends, and because of that, this is definitely going to the Packers could win because they have the element of surprise and they've had 2 weeks to prepare. But I want to say that the 49ers find a way to win at home. Really close game. Let's call it 23-21. I mean, not exactly a shootout. You know, I think both defenses are going to show up. But at the end of the day, I don't like the George Kittle matchup against this Packers defense. That scares me away from taking the Packers. But I say that saying that those 2 weeks that they have, they could absolutely go to San Francisco and win. That would not surprise me at all.
All right, Ryan, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you Monday morning or so.
All right, take care.
See ya, man.
Yeah, all right, so to take inventory, here's what I'm going to have to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to predict the Niners win, and here's why. The last three, this is now the third time that I've filled in this run here.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Kansas City Chiefs game. And both Woody and I predicted the Chiefs would win.
Yeah.
Okay. Then fast forward to the Chargers game. We both predicted that the Packers runaway victory.
Wrong. Didn't happen.
Okay. Now I'm going to go with him and say the Niners, so that way it'll get the Packers to win. How's
okay.
that sound?
Okay. So the contrarian theory.
Take one for the team here.
One for the team.
Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. That's where you find his stuff. Ryan Wood, and he joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.